Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like talking about movies, sports, or whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man, otherwise known as Bruce.
And we're coming at you in the same room, recording in the same room. Figured it's been a little while, so we were going to talk about sports ball. All right, then. Where do we want to start in the world of sports?
I guess we'll start with hockey. Just wrapped up for the second year in a row. It was Edmonton versus the Florida Panthers.
Yep, almost the same semifinals, too.
Dallas and Edmonton, Florida and Carolina.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Florida-Carolina last time, but I know it was Dallas-Edmonton last time in this. We did worse. We only won one game out of the Dallas-Edmonton game. We just got smashed down the other four games.
Which is funny because, I mean, I watched clips, and I didn't watch a lot of the Stanley Cup this year just because it was meh. But Florida bullied Edmonton the little bit I watched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just bullied them all up and down the ice. So I was kind of surprised to see Dallas go down the way it did.
It's strange to me because Dallas is a fairly physical team. But I feel like Edmonton was just flat out better in all respects. I don't know, but I definitely knew that I didn't want to watch Dallas play Florida.
because they're just mean and bullyish, and I think that you're going to see next year that's the way the sport's going to go. It's going to be a lot more physical than it has been because they were trying to play down the fights, you know, for the longest time, and so young kids were trying to be finesse players, you know, trying to get goals and different and, you know, interesting ways, and they lost a lot of physicality, you know, the speed and the toughness and, you know, the hitting and things like that, and that's why Florida won for the second year in a row. So they would just bully the teams to victory.
And I will say Edmonton did win too, right? They had a pretty spectacular comeback on one of those where they were down three in the third period, and they managed to come back and win it in overtime.
Right.
That being said, they only won two. Florida won four, so it went to game six. So it wasn't a complete total blowout.
Right. And they did make, you know, it interesting to a certain degree, but I think the fact that the Panthers were 2 years in a row, the Lightning almost went three before that, and so I think when you see teams like that, it makes the sport less interesting. I think their advertising this year was worse. Last year, they had David Harbour on TNT, you know, as a frantic, you know, crazy hockey fan, you know, and like, you know, he was put in charge of the show of like, you know, the sports casting show, and
yeah,
he was doing all these crazy things. This year, the advertising wasn't there. There was no big advertising push, and I'm surprised because if you're hockey, you're trying to push every year. This is the stuff that non-hockey fans watch.
Yeah.
And that's how you get them to come back. Now, they were more readily available across more channels, TNT, TBS, ABC, ESPN. In some respects, I mean, there was some growth, but
I think, you know, hockey still suffers from the same or a similar problem that, say, baseball and basketball suffer from, where there's no easy way to watch your team play all of its matches. It's an amalgam of crud. And baseball kind of fixed that, but still also not completely.
Right.
Like, anything that's being shown on the major channels isn't shown on whatever specialty service that you got. And
they've even, on Fridays now, have gone to Apple TV. That's problematic because a lot of people just don't want to deal with Apple at all.
Right. I mean, the only reason I have an Apple Plus subscription is because my phone came with it, and I just kept watching shows on it.
See, I don't have Apple Plus, but I have to use the app to watch Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way Major League Soccer is televised is on Apple.
Yes.
Now, you can buy just the Major League Soccer package. You don't have to get Apple Plus, but I find it ridiculous that I live near, or, you know, used to live in Columbus, live near Columbus, and I can't watch any soccer. I live between Cincinnati and Columbus, and I can't watch either team on regular TV.
Yeah. Oh, is it still blackout stuff for them because of that?
They only televise all across MLS, only on Apple.
Yeah. But that is also on the other side of it. I've only got to pay one fee, right?
Right.
It's not like I've got to pay seven different services in order to watch my team.
Right.
I just have one thing, and I can watch all of Major League Soccer.
Right.
So, from that front, It's nice. It'd be nice if they could put local games on local TV. That's, I think, the real problem across all sports. Mm-hmm. And they can do it with football. They can't do it with anybody else. That, yeah, that's my problem. But yeah, hockey. We're talking about hockey.
Yeah, we're just talking about, you know, Florida winning the Stanley for the second year in a row. Yeah, and so, you know, dirty and horrible things are going to happen to that cup once it gets passed around South Beach. So
expect the cup to have several cases of syphilis by the end of the weekend.
So if you come across the Stanley Cup, don't touch it.
Do not touch it. It's been everywhere your average Florida person has been. And if you don't know what that means, I would say go to the internet, but you know, just make sure you're on the dark mode is, or what? the not recording your search history. What is even in this?
Oh, how are they still a state? Who would live here?
How did they not get disowned by the union for this?
Oh, Medicaid fraud, that's how.
Yeah. What a train wreck. Train wreck of a state.
Baseball's going okay. Guardians are awful this year. They're just awful. I don't know what the big difference between this year and last year. I think two of our bats. And coach? Well, last year we still had the same coach.
Oh, that's right. He went to the Reds last year.
Well, I mean, he didn't play last year. I think this is his first year.
Yeah, first year.
We had a different coach. We still have the coach this year that we had last year.
Okay.
The only major difference was two players. Second baseman, Andres Jimenez. He went to Toronto, and Josh Naylor went to Arizona. But they weren't our biggest bats. I mean, they were good bats. But I still would rather have Andres Jimenez now just for how he played second base. I don't like our second baseman now, whoever it is. Well, I say that because now we're starting to just rotate people constantly.
Yeah.
We're just not good this year.
Yeah. Which is sad because you guys had a chance for the pennant last year.
Yeah, we were like a couple games shy.
Yep. Yep, yep. Stupid Yankees.
Yankees.
So, yeah. Rangers aren't anything to talk about again. it's been very strange this year. We've been a pitching team. I don't even know how that works, like, with the Rangers. Like, we've never been a pitching team, and all of a sudden we are, and I think it's mostly because our bats are just not very good this year.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of sad to watch the Rangers, to be honest, this year, because it feels like they just completely fallen apart.
Well, and I'll tell you, I mean, I've really not watched too many baseball games this year just because I can't take it. I can't be depressed like this for this team. I already got the Browns coming up, and I'm trying to save what mental health I have for that. I mean,
yeah,
it's just tough watching baseball this year, and especially because it's going to be another tough year. Whoever's going to face Los Angeles again.
Yeah. Whoever the Dodgers are going to end up playing in the World Series because they got Otano and a bunch of other guys, because money.
Yep.
But that's baseball. Went and saw a Reds game since I'm in Columbus. Went to Cincinnati for a Reds game. I really like that stadium. Great American Ballpark. That's a great ballpark.
It's a nice one. I think amenities-wise, it's not quite as nice as Progressive Field, because we met with some people earlier this week, and they said the same thing. That they liked Progressive Field.
Yeah.
And that's because it's a really cool downtown park. Great American Ballpark, it's a nice stadium. I think the way Cincinnati's laid out, pressed up against the river, makes it more interesting to get into and out of.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's always, and that's, whenever you're set up like that against a natural feature, you've always got space considerations and concerns. You know, they've got that problem, so do the Bengals.
Well, now, and to be fair to Progressive Field, I mean, it's pressed up against I-90. And they don't have dedicated, they've got one dedicated garage, but that garage is supposed to service Progressive Field and Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, the basketball arena. So you have to find city parking around it. So it's a little, you know, but
I mean, the way they have logistics set up between the garages and getting to the field, I think is really good. There's just a nice little bar.
Couple of bars there.
Restaurant area right outside of the front gates, or Gate A. I like its integration with the Hall of Fame. I like the kind of inside the ballpark, the open areas, the way they have concessions set up. I think it's a very well done ballpark. My boss was thinking it was better than the Rangers Field. I don't think that's true, but
I would find it hard, having never been there. I mean, from what I can see in pictures and where it's located, I mean, it's probably easier to walk around that ballpark and got better immunities, better comfort because it's domed.
Yeah, so, like, for instance, the game I went to was 2 hours and 10 minutes delayed because of rain, right?
Right.
Whereas at the Rangers field, there would not have been a delay.
Right.
And it's interesting because what I really love about Globe Life Field, which is where the Rangers play, is the logistics. Mm-hmm. Somebody put effort into thinking about how is this going to work? Where are these people going to walk? How is the crowd movement going to be? Where do we need to put the concession stands and things for traffic flow? Like, it's just all thought out. Well done. And so many of these places, it's like an architect on crack made them and didn't think about the important stuff. Like, where was the rainwater going to go?
Well, what I liked about the design for Progressive Field is that it's designed with the idea of, hey, most of the games during the week are going to start at 6. So when you get out of work, come buy a cheap ticket, come here and have a bunch of drinks.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a $15 ticket for standing room only, and they give you the first drink. And then they got bars and all sorts of stands, you know, for all sorts of things, including lots of beer. So it's really designed to bring people in if you like nothing else other than to have a beer and have a comfortable place and maybe watch an okay baseball game and then have a reason to drink.
Yeah.
And that's Ohio. Sure
the Guardians can give you a reason to drink.
Yeah.
So it's baseball.
Oh, wait. We forgot to talk about the big thing in baseball. So, Pete Rose died a month ago?
About a month ago.
And no kidding, 3 days later, him and Shoeless Joe Jackson were taken off the permanently banned, lifetime ban from baseball. And
from the Baseball Hall of Fame.
From the Baseball Hall of Fame. And now they are eligible to be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I say eligible to be elected because they still have to be elected, but at this point, if you're taking them off the list, I don't see how you don't vote them in.
Right. So, and to give everybody a feel, or to anybody who has no idea what's going on, why were Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson on the Shall Not Get Into the Baseball Hall of Fame list?
Well, okay, let's clear this up because this is a little bit different. It's not that they weren't able to get into the Hall of Fame. They were banned from baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose, I saw a video with him in an interview. They wouldn't let him into the clubhouse.
Yeah.
They would ask him to do ceremonies and things in the ballpark, but he was not allowed into the clubhouse.
Yeah.
He was only allowed if he was a paying customer to be in the stands. That's how far they took it.
Right. So how and why did he get banned from baseball?
It was because he got caught and admitted to placing bets on games that he played in. Now, granted, he admitted that he placed those bets, but that he never bet against him or his teammates or his team to lose. But he still put bets on the games that he was in, and that was a big no-no in baseball. Same thing for Shoeless Joe Jackson way back in, 1930s,
yeah.
1940s?
Yeah, although there's a lot of question marks about whether Shoeless Joe actually threw games or not.
Well, they couldn't, given the stats, they couldn't prove it.
Yeah. In all sports, the people involved in the sports are not supposed to be betting. So the players, the coaches, the umpires, the refs, nobody's supposed to be betting because, you know, it could influence the game. But they did, so they bet. And their claim is that, well, we bet on ourselves so that we could, it'd be like an extra boost to winning, right? Because we know we're going to win. But the result was they got banned from baseball. The extra result being that they could not, because of their ban from baseball, be eligible for the Hall of Fame.
And they were both hugely successful baseball players. I mean, that's why it's such a big deal, is that it wasn't that they were blue-collar baseball guys that just showed up every day. Pete Rose broke records in Cincinnati. He was considered, even if this hadn't been on his record, he would have been in the Hall of Fame decades ago.
Right.
No kidding, when they said lifetime ban, 3 days after he died, took him off the ban.
Yeah.
I mean, so
lifetime ban.
Right. And so I guess in the same stroke, if they weren't going to ban him, they couldn't ban Shoeless Joe Jackson. And honestly, Shoeless Joe, I think, is more famous because of the movie Field of Dreams than anything else. But he was a good baseball player in his own right in his time.
Yep. If you build it, he will come. Really, though? Yes. Kevin Costner thinks so. So should you.
Possibly the dry land wasn't a myth.
It's not a myth! Shoeless Shabbos.
That was well timed.
Yeah, so big deal, interesting move. You know, a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, how could they do this? And then it's like, well, it was a lifetime ban, and he's dead.
Well,
so
I got a baseball friend, or a former coworker, who didn't want him to get into the Hall of Fame, not because of the betting thing, but because apparently there were some questions about him and some interactions with women.
Yeah. Which
I don't know too much about. I just know that that was his feelings. And I never really heard too many people bring up that point.
I mean, the honest truth is, it's a bunch of professional athletes. They've never been known not to be, generally speaking, a bunch of, you know, guiltless womanizers. I think if you were to try to go back and sort of post-mortem analyze that kind of stuff, you'd be there for a long time. And we have trouble enough trying to do that stuff even in the modern era.
Uh-huh.
Like, you talk about, you know, guys who get however many seasons worth of bans or how many games worth of bans because of XYZ accusation, and then it comes out and it's not true, or some guy's got 37 different gals accusing him, and the NFL commissioner is never consistent on how much of a ban or what kind of ban is given out. And so, like, even now, this stuff is not well done. And you need to be consistent across everything. And that would be, trying to go into the past like that would be damn near impossible.
Oh, sure. But I thought that was interesting for baseball. That happened. It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. That's a big one. On the college sports front, A&M choked on everything. So we made it to the second round of
March Madness
basketball. We lost to Michigan. Completely and totally blew a 20-point lead.
Right.
Yeah. Ended up losing by 10 points. Basically, they went
because we didn't show up the second half.
Yeah, we just did not show up at all the second half. They destroyed us. It was watching a train wreck. There's no other.
Arrogant train wreck. That's, I remember about that because our guys were hooting and hollering there for a while at the other team. And
yeah, they weren't making their free throws. So fouling them was something that could be done, you know, obliquely and easily because they were never going to actually make any of the baskets they needed to from the foul, right? So if you can stop a guy from shooting or from making a basket by fouling him because you know he's not going to make the foul shots, then that's what you did, and that's what they did. And beyond that, we were trying to make three-pointers, and we could not make three-pointers. We shot, I don't know, 20-something. We made, like, three or five. And so we'd shoot a three-pointer, and we wouldn't get it. And then Michigan would take it down and score two more points. And then, oh, we're down by 30. We went from a 20-point lead to being down by 10. It was painful to watch across the board. It's just very much, why can't you guys just play fundamentals basketball? Just two-pointers, layups.
Certainly not worth $20 million.
Nope. Baseball team really couldn't put it together, just generally speaking, across the board. Both their record, generally speaking, and their record, both the record in general play and the record inside the SEC were not very good. They managed to beat some really good teams. Heck, they swept Arkansas, which was one of the better teams. They beat several teams who were very good. Couldn't beat Texas, of course, because we can't right now for some reason. They're in our heads, which is not shocking. And they just weren't very good, so they didn't get into the tournament this year. Softball team was the number one seed into the NCAA championship tournament. They won. They had, well, co-won the SEC championship a week prior, and they co-won it because they called the game. I think it was Oklahoma. Because of rain delay, and they didn't reschedule it. So they just announced them co-winners, which I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how anybody feels about that, honestly. I'm not sure why they did it.
Because it's the NCAA.
Just,
they're freaking toothless, spineless, and don't care as long as they get their money.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was the SEC championship. It wasn't
You remember the College World Series last year? They had that one team get knocked out, and they had trouble getting them home.
Yeah.
They ended up spending the night in, like, a conference, in a convention room at the hotel because they didn't have rooms for them because they couldn't get them home.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. Yep. And then we go to the NCAA championship. Well, I think second round, they got knocked out by, like, Purdue or something out of nowhere. And I don't know. They just fell apart the second half of the game. Basically, after the fifth inning, they just couldn't put anything together in the – So they were the number one seed, and they go down. You know, I think our track and field did pretty good this year, but that was about it. Like, across the board, I think our tennis team did poorly. we just did not have a very good
year, huh?
Yeah, we had a bad year at A&M from a sports perspective. So we'll see. There's always next year, I guess. Sports kind of sucked.
It's been rough.
Yeah, it's been a rough year. Rough year at A&M, but, you know, we're A&M.
That's not an uncommon song that we sing.
Just to backtrack for just a quick second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And hockey. My Jackets actually did better than we thought. We were hoping they would just at least break 500. They were two games shy, which would have put them at 500. They were two games shy of making it to the playoffs this year, which they haven't been that close in probably 5 or 8 years, something like that.
Nice.
So there was one bright side.
Yeah, one small.
But going back to college sports, big news there was Supreme Court, right?
Yeah. No.
This was just Congress.
This was Congress. Yeah, this got passed. This was a bill.
Right.
So this was not a Supreme Court ruling. This was a bill that basically said allowed colleges to pay up to $20 million to student athletes. So it did not specify,
cap per student. It didn't specify the sport. It just said collectively as a university for athletics, $20 million.
Or for athletes.
Or athletes, yeah. $20 million per school.
That moves college sports, any thought that these are amateur sporting events is completely gone now.
Well, I guess maybe more in official sense, but honestly, if you look at the TV deals, you look at the jerseys, you look at all these things that colleges put into, the football program alone, or basketball, if you're a basketball-heavy program, amateurism was out the window. The only thing that was saving it was that you weren't paying kids. Well, like back in the day in the coal mines, okay?
Right.
You just weren't paying them. You're like, we're giving them free education. Go, yeah, but education's not their priority when they go to those schools,
Yeah.
It's absolutely, they could yell at me all they want and say, yes, we have a great pedigree on making sure our students go to class. Like, no, you don't. You got 150, 200 kids on a football team, and I guarantee you most of them aren't going to make it in the NFL. But if they did anything less, they make sure they were at 100% of their practices, and they couldn't care less what percentage of classes they were in.
Yep. Yeah, I'll agree. That generally, there's not a lot of academic honesty going on here when it comes to a lot of the sports stars. I'm not going to say all of them.
Right, but the reason for that is because, the regents and the boosters pay lots and lots and lots of money to make sure these guys win.
Yeah, because they want to see wins, right?
And then not only do they want to see them win, they want to have access to these kids, for booster rallies and things like that, meet and greets.
Right.
Jersey signings, autograph signings, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah. So $20 million. So it's interesting because, for schools like Texas and Texas A&M, and Alabama and Georgia and
Ohio State, Michigan, USC,
Oregon. That is, compared to what's coming in on the name, image, and likeness roles, $20 million is like petty cash.
Right.
Like,
well, so now the interesting part is going to be the ruling on, okay, the schools can pay $20 million directly to the schools, but is there a limit to their students? But is there a limit that they can get outside of that? And how do they organize that? Because before, they were trying to get around this, all of this money stuff by saying, boosters were giving them this, that, and the other thing as gifts without them knowing, or this, that, and the other thing. And there wasn't a consistent answer from the NCAA on punishment.
Right. Well, and eventually what came out of the Supreme Court on that was that the individual athletes, the individual people, owned their own rights to name, image, and likeness, right? The university didn't. They did. And so they could make name, image, and likeness deals, and the result of that was the formation of groups who would pay name, image, and likeness fees to individual athletes to get them to be in, commercials or whatever, sponsorships, your local used car dealership commercial or whatever. To get your, on some baseball cards or, whatever. And they would pay the athlete that to go to that, the university they wanted them to go to. It's very similar to what happened with the political action committees, however many years ago that was. So, that's what we've seen. Citizens United case. So it's been interesting to see that happen. I don't know what the legalities are going to be now that you can pay players. So if you have somebody you're paying, as a university, can you put that as part of a contract that they're not allowed to take NIL deals?
Right.
And then would you? Because if you do that as a university, and another university is like, oh, no, we're going to pay you and you can get NIL money, wouldn't you go there? Right? And so
right.
I think the competitive landscape I think unless it becomes a matter of law where you have some sort of set of laws put in place that if you're paying a player, they can't make money from name, image, and likeness deals, I don't think it's going to interact with the law. And I do wonder if that's going to come into play.
Right.
And I don't know how legal that is because, you know, in my mind, a person should have, you know, ownership rights over their name, image, and likeness use.
Right. Especially in sports where these guys are going to get hurt. Guys are just getting bigger and heavier and faster and hitting harder. This could ruin a kid's life. I mean, there's not saying that kids shouldn't do football and they shouldn't take, you know, the risk, but there's obvious risk. There's risk in baseball. There's risk in basketball and soccer. But, you know, that's just the thing. There has to be compensation because all these kids are not kids. They're adults. They're legally adults. And so they can't be protected by their parents legally, you know? And I guarantee universities take advantage of that fact. But here's the interesting part. Is this a moment where the NCAA finally decides it's going to take the reins and actually have rules and a clear visual of what those rules are and how you go about determining them? Because they've been laughable. Everybody laughs at the NCAA for the way they decide things. They laughed at them at how they handled COVID. They're going to laugh at them now because as soon as they said, yeah, sure, you could try to give them money, the doors flew open, and you know the SEC and the Big Ten said, we're going to do what we want. If you don't like it, guess what? We'll break off from you and start our own singular mega conference and do our own football, and you'll have no money.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's the deal. I don't think you're going to get any teeth out of the NCAA because I think at the end of the day, it's all about money.
Right.
The people who run the NCAA can be easily bought or bullied.
Well, that and the business has gotten so big now that, the Big Ten and the SEC can go, screw you. We're going to turn our back on you. We're going to do our own thing. We'll find a way to agree on what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we'll run football, college football on our own.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you take your hands off the reins for so long and you don't try to rein in the money a little.
What's going to be interesting to me is going to be those schools who don't have a lot of money in their programs right now, but could start putting money into smaller programs. So, like, I don't think this will change the landscape of football.
Well, I think the answer to the smaller programs is marketing yourself as Olympic schools.
Right.
Schools that are going to train these kids to be Olympic ready every 2-4 years, whatever, you know, both summer and winter. And say, this is our program. If you're winter time, guess what? When it's not wintertime, you're going to go to school full time. We'll get you your education. The rest of the time, you're obviously training in the background. And then when winter hits, you're going at it full time and you're going to represent your country.
Well, yeah. And so that's the real thing is I could be, let's say I'm Northern Kentucky or Bowling Green, right?
Uh-huh.
Whose football team is better than a lot of people thought but last year. But and then I end up putting, $15 million or my $20 million into my diving team.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm a kid in Florida who's top-ranked diving kid in high school. Where am I suddenly going?
Right.
Bowling Green. Right.
Right. Like, how are you going to turn the thing that you love into something that's going to make you money?
Yeah. So, I think there's going to be a very interesting competition shift in the outside of football schools. And, I think it'll be kind of lesser. So you'll see no impact in football, at least amongst the big four, the top four. And probably, two more down from that.
Just no, earth-shifting change.
Yeah. And then in basketball, you might see a small shift. And the same in baseball. But it's really not going to get noticeable until you get to, softball, tennis.
Right.
Swimming, diving, water polo.
Right. When we were driving around Columbus here, you noticed the sign for the Fury, which was the professional volleyball. Mm-hmm. So there are sports that they're trying to get more money into. And this will be housed because they'll start, recruiting from the universities and trying to get boosters from those universities to pay into more teams or at least more professional teams and bigger arenas and things like that. And then you got your sports that are national sports, like rugby. I knew back in Florida people who liked playing rugby and wanted to play rugby. Throughout the country now, curling's become a big thing.
Yeah.
So you're going to start seeing these international sports where Americans want to be the best.
Yeah.
And so where are they going to try to be the best at? They're going to try to get their kids because youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, I think you see a lot of big movements in like women's soccer, like you said, volleyball. Right now, the dominant programs all kind of follow with football.
Right.
Right. Everything sort of flows from football. And the best teams in every sport right now are in the SEC. Why? Because the SEC is the best football teams. Yeah, I'll fight you on that one. I don't care. I don't care who won the national championship. Whoop-de-doo. We went over why that happened. So, but the reason the other sports are being dominated by SEC teams is because that's where the money is, mm-hmm. right? And that's where the money is because that's where football is. And so it gets spread around the entirety of the athletics department. However, now that other schools can differentiate where they put their money or suddenly can pay athletes, I think that changes the landscape pretty dramatically. And I'm very curious as to see which schools decide to be what premier programs. Like,
yeah, obviously Florida, Texas, and Arizona, you're going to see a big surge in the baseball because half of your baseball teams in Major League Baseball do their spring training in Arizona. Mm-hmm. The other half in Florida.
Yeah.
And in between, Texas has got plenty of programs there, too. I can see Arizona becoming a big name for baseball.
So you can see places like Arizona and Arizona State. You could see some of the smaller teams. You know, Texas, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Baylor, SMU, they all already have very good baseball teams. But you could see some other groups like TCU. You could see some, like, system colleges like Texas A&M Corpus Christi or... or UT San Antonio.
Well, and those places have really good off-season teams as well. And right now, there's an Arizona league going on for Major League Baseball for guys that are on the injured list trying to rehab. I know there's some in Texas. I imagine there's some in Florida. You know, so if you're wanting to get college kids started early in that process, you know, what better than have them in school nearby and then try to get them some professional training as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get schools similar to that, like, skiing, hockey. I'm talking about winter sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could see kids getting paid for, like, the luge and for bobsledding. Absolutely. And for, you know, for stuff you would snowboarding, right?
Right.
The stuff that's made it into the Olympics. And you could see, like, an REI or someone like, or, you know, Rochester Institute of Technology. Either way, you know, yeah. You could see a school like that suddenly become a speed skating powerhouse.
Oh, especially ones right along the Canadian border, you know, Minnesota, Ohio, New York and Buffalo area, you know, all of those, because that's where you're going to try to pull trainers from.
Yeah.
Is from those really, you know, well-educated trainers.
Yeah.
You know, across the border.
But, I think that's interesting because suddenly there's an ability to make money as a student athlete doing a non-professional sport, right? The question mark in my mind is, does that become then a causal factor in more student athletes who have crap degrees?
Well, probably, yes. But, I mean, that's the thing now anyways. I mean, a lot of these kids, especially, like I said, because if you're in a major program, they don't care what your education is. They want you at the program, even if you're a fourth-string guy.
And I get that and all, but, like, you don't see a whole lot of, like, folks from the track and field team or the diving team not having a decent degree that they know.
Because they know. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, this doesn't pay in the long run. Right. I actually need a degree that gets a job that I do something with.
In fact, their high school ability led them to getting a free education, which they were like, I want the education. I don't need the athleticism.
Yeah,
I just need that to get me the money for it. Right.
I do the athletics so I can maintain my scholarship so that I can get my education. Right now, we have things, and this is what happened with paying players, you know, for football. Now it's the opposite, right? Uh-huh. The education is kind of in the way of my athletics and getting paid. But it's interesting because they can get paid while for playing in high school, but there's still no professional sport at the end of the line.
Right.
That worries me because you are taking the still really amateur sports and making them professional sports, and that being a potential detriment to the amateurs who are really, they're supposed to be getting an education.
What you need then is, I mean, I guess you'd call it a sports agent, but essentially it's a sports counselor. Someone to tell, you know, when parents get offered scholarships from certain schools, they said they can get their kid, you know, to be professional, whatever. They go to this guy and say, hey, how much is this true? How much of this isn't? You know, as somebody who's been through that system, you can make a living off of telling other kids, yeah, you should take this deal. No, you shouldn't take this deal because this school's just not going to do what you think it's going to do. Yeah. Or at the very least, if you take the deal, don't expect, you know, this and make sure you get yourself an education.
Yeah.
Like guidance counselors are supposed to
Right,
be,
yeah. So what actual guidance counselors are supposed to do? Yeah. Yeah.
instead of just handing you pamphlets and applications. Go, yeah, yeah, apply to all of them. You never know.
You never know.
Thanks. I could not have figured that out.
Yeah. Well, and then so you have like you have the mathematical balance happening at that point. Okay, well, if I can get into Harvard on an athletic scholarship, do they even need to pay me? Because that degree is worth, you know, $100,000.
Right.
Versus, you know, I could go to Arizona State and get paid. Well, am I getting paid more than I would than the degree from Harvard costs? And which one's worth more at the end of the day? I think there's going to be a whole lot of that going on after the dust settles on what schools decide to back what program.
Well, that'll be in basketball. I see that having more of an effect, like because like Georgetown's usually a pretty good basketball school, but I mean it's Georgetown. If you can get a good degree from Georgetown, do you really need the basketball gig?
Right, right. Well, it's like, you know, Georgetown, Villanova, right, Vanderbilt, right? Like, yeah, like these are not. I mean, like yeah, I'm on the skull team from Harvard, but who cares? Right. I got my law degree from Harvard. That sets me for life.
Right.
Because you know, some other a-hole from the Skull and Bones Society is going to hire my... So, yeah, there's a lot of questions there. I think it's a very interesting time for college sports. I don't agree with it, I think at the end of the day, I don't like the idea that the colleges are paying players. I've stewed on it a lot. I don't like the fact that we've, you know, completely and utterly eschewed amateurism. I wish we could go back to it. I know that. That's already been let out of the thing, and I honestly felt like the NIL was a good balance, like of keeping it so the universities weren't paying somebody to play a sport, you know, treating them like a student employee. And I know that's a reverse. I think you could probably go back like 3 or 4 years and hear me on this podcast saying they should just pay him like a student employee.
Well, you know, I think that it would be better if the NIL was more of a percentage thing. Because that'll be something, you know, say a kid's poster or shirt's being sold and he gets a percentage of that. Well, then that's going to mean lesser money, but he is getting exactly what he's worth out of that. Because if he doesn't sell a whole lot of jerseys, then he doesn't get a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
So then the education becomes more valuable than, say, the football does.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's more of what we're talking about here is adequate compensation is what we're wanting. And if you give a solid dollar figure out, that's not necessarily how – that's more of a gamble. That's right. A bet, because you don't know what that value is actually going to be, whereas the percentage is the exact value. But I'm okay with NIL because, like I said, for a lot of these kids, if they get hurt in such a way where they can't continue on the team, then they get dropped from the team because they're not fulfilling their contract. That's the case because they're not kids anymore. They're adults, and they're legally bound to the contracts that they sign and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that if universities are going to make millions of dollars – then these kids deserve something for sacrificing their education and body to it.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, and I think NIL is a good balance on that one. You know, it's interesting because we have the same problem in professional sports where it's just these dollar figures, right?
Right.
They don't make any sense at all.
You're talking to a Browns fan that's going to pay $234 million for a guy that played maybe 6 whole games in his 4 years with Cleveland.
Yeah.
And was accused of sexual assault on 37 women. Is that what we said?
I think it was 30. It was 37 or 38 at the end of the day.
Who still says he can come back and play baseball or football, and you know that he's going to teach you know everybody a lesson about doubting him. But
yeah, sure, sure you will.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, talking about getting money for what you're offering,
right? You know, there's a part of me that is really disgusted by the amount of money involved in professional sports. I mean, these are effectively paid clowns, uh-huh. You know, circus clowns, and this isn't a diss on professional sports and the amount of training and time they put in anything, but so do clowns. Like, you know, that's not a job you just do, right? You train and you work for it, but at the end of the day, you're there for entertainment, right? You're there to make me, you know, happy or laugh or sad or cry or whatever. You're there to get an emotional output from, you know, somebody who's watching you, and that's it. Like, you're not there for anything else.
Right.
Right? And in the same way, I don't care what your opinion on politics or other sports is or whatever, because you're good at a single thing. I don't care about your stuff on, you know, you're not an expert on airplanes.
Unless like, they got an engineering degree.
But for the most part, from a societal, structural standpoint, I don't like the fact that we pay these people so much money. And then on top of that, pay attention to what they think about things.
Well, it just makes it hard because then you have expectations, you know, growing up in this kind of world of your hopes and dreams and trying to hang on to it for as long as you can, because there's always that one outlier that did it when they were 40 instead of, you know, 18.
Yeah.
It's not what you want kids to think is the norm or the most appealing, you know?
Yeah. I would never want my kids to pursue a professional sports career. If they luck into it because of talent and the right time and right place, sure. But I would never push my kids into sporting in hopes that they get, you know, that they make it in the long run. It becomes a professional right. sports career. There's a lot of people out there who do that.
Well, travel little league baseball leagues. You know yeah, what I mean?
Right.
You hear about right. the horror stories of travel little league baseball yeah. leagues. And you're like, yeah. these are 5 and 6 year olds getting on buses to go overnight to some city, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, and that doesn't stop, right? That right. starts at little league and goes all the way to high school.
Right.
And then from there, you know, and that's not just little league. Softball does that. Football's like that. Like, it's any of the sports that pay off in the end. Have that whole system built in where you got to buy in when your kid is like 5.
Right.
And then it's a crapshoot from that point on. And the amount of money you spill into that as a parent is ridiculous. And most of the time the kids get burnt out on it by the time they're in high school. They don't even right. play anymore. They might even get scholarships and be like, I'm not.
You got to remember the people that love the game are very few and far between. And that's, you know, typically you'll see that in the 40-year-old that's still playing in AAA baseball.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know? Or maybe the USFL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. USFL just came to a close. Or no, it's not. It's just USL now.
So. USL.
Or UFL. Sorry, United Football League. That just came to a close. I did not pay attention this year. I was thinking about going to some of the games, but travel just did not work out for me this year. My team's the Renegades. This year, the DC Defenders beat the Michigan Panthers for first title. It's funny because I feel like I had a lot more time to watch these games spring 2 years ago. And then since then, I really haven't.
Yeah.
And I think it's travel mostly and the kids' sports. You know, on that front, both my children played flag football this past spring. And it was a little rough. It were Friday games. And they had, you know, my son's, who's 9, his games would start at like 7. And then my daughter's would start at like 8:30. So, she, you know, her games wouldn't end until like 9:30, which is 12. It just, that was ridiculous. Like in the year before, I feel like we played on Saturdays during the day. So I don't know what happened, but I'm not a big fan of the Friday night way to do things for sporting events. But I mean, you get into it. And then the summer season for swim, she only had like 3 meets in a row, like three weekends in a row. She had swim meets. It's just a lot. It's tough on parents to keep up with this level of sport activity with their kids. As it becomes more competitive in more of the smaller level sporting, so it's not just baseball and softball and basketball and football, it's all of them, this is all just going to get worse. like you're going to have to decide to be a sport parent when your kids are 5. Or just if your kids end up having the talent necessary to go, then get into it. But, it worries me. It just worries me the effect that this is going to have on kids and society in general as these programs become paid programs.
Yeah. Not being a parent, so I really couldn't relate a whole lot. But, yeah, I suppose so. I got 2 nephews who are into just about everything. Football, baseball, basketball. And they just constantly do things. And I ask my sister all the time, do you want them to do it, or do they want to do it? Like, no, they want to do it. I'm like, all right, as long as they want to do it. I mean, she's got to get burnt out. I can't imagine both of them.
Yeah.
But they're first, second graders, so maybe they got all the energy in the world.
Yeah. That's kind of how it is for me-ish. I'll say that. And the reason I say ish because sporting is going to be so important for Micah's long-term health.
that's what we should keep in mind, yeah, is that sports should be encouraged in the sense that it keeps your kids active.
Yeah.
You have to gauge your seriousness in it, which will mean, you know, your kid may not have the best gear, but if he likes doing it and keeps him, you know, active, great,
yeah.
Do it. But, you know, if you want your kid to be a professional someday, you're going to end up paying big, big money because you're going to have to pay for just, you know, higher equipment and training in the off season and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah. camps and private coaches. And you know, you're going to have to spend, either you're going to have to spend a lot of money on other people teaching your kids, or you're going to have to spend a lot of time yourself on teaching your kids. And if it's you, that's, I think that's a lot better if you can do that. But there's so many people have so little time these days.
Yeah.
I can never see myself getting to the point where I'm constantly driving out of town with my kids for their baseball games. I don't know how parents do that, but that's, they do it.
Well, especially in Texas where everything's further apart from everything
else. I know some people have some travel, some kids on travel teams. I'm like, I don't know how you do it.
But why you do it.
I mean, the real truth of it, sporting, it's good for the health. Uh-huh. It's good for the mind, right? Being part of a team, getting the encouragement, having people you've got the camaraderie with, everything from in sports psychology shows that being on sports teams is helpful for the vast majority of individuals.
Sure.
It helps in so many different ways.
Well, even at my age, I want to do competitive sports, you know, bowling or curling or, you know, something like that. You want to do competitive stuff because it does make you feel a little better.
Yeah. And it helps your health.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the fallout's going to be. Like I said, I'm extremely interested in what schools are going to decide to do to try and become the premier program using their $20 million of actual school funds to pay players. So who's going to emerge as the skiing schools, and who's going to emerge as the swim schools, and who's going to emerge? And the fact of the matter is, several of the major football schools are probably going to be on those lists. They're going to pick their own schools because they're not going to have to pay football players. Uh-huh. NIL is going to take care of that.
Uh-huh.
They're going to also be picking, okay, well, we're going to also, you know, we're going to try and dominate volleyball or, you
well,
know,
well, I
tennis
think
or,
a lot of them would pick basketball because it's the next biggest moneymaker.
I think the NIL deals are there too. Uh-huh. I think the reality is basketball, baseball, and football for the major programs, you know.
And keeps those kids in those programs instead of doing their 2 years and then hopping out for the NBA.
Well, and I think the name, image, and likeness has an effect on that stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think you're already starting to see players who have opted to stay 4 years instead of calling it and going on to the draft, which is good. I think it's good for sports teams overall because I gotta be honest, due to the transfer portal, it's like you had an entirely new team every year.
Uh-huh.
Like there was no year to year. You know, except for the non-flashy positions like the offensive line, which, you know, we've argued that's probably the most important part of any football team. It's going to be interesting to me. It's going to be interesting to see how this is going to change the landscape. All right, any final thoughts on Fat Man? Any sports we haven't covered?
No, just that we'll probably wait a little while before the next sports ball just because we're kind of hitting the middle of the dead zone here of sports. I mean, I'm still watching MLS here and there. Baseball is still going on, but next up is football, and then a little after that, it's back to hockey. So,
yep. Football is always on the horizon.
Yep.
Sure, we'll be back at it. All right, well, in the meantime, I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Yay, sports ball.
Yeah. So, and that's about all I'll say on that.